The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Good morning. Welcome to the final day of our missions conference. We're grateful that you are here. It's my pleasure to introduce to you the Reverend Dr. William T. Iverson. Our families go back a pretty good ways. My grandfather's in the trucking business and actually moved the church that Bill's father started in 1929 in Miami, Florida. It was a dance hall on one side of the street, and they moved it across to the other side of the street. A few years after that, my mother and father were part of a church plant out of the Shenandoah Presbyterian Church, and we started St. John's Presbyterian Church. It was one of the churches out of Shenandoah Presbyterian Church, probably in the 1950s, 1958 maybe. In 1978, I went and lived with Bill Iverson in his home for a year in Newark, New Jersey, and did urban ministry there. In 1983, I was a classmate of Dan Iverson, Bill's son, at Reformed Theological Seminary, and he blames me for the fact that he is in Japan because I invited him to a missions prayer meeting where he met Hiro Takatori, a Reformed pastor in Japan, and Dan has been in Japan for how many years?
22 years.
In January 2010, when I was teaching the MTW missionaries in Brussels, Belgium, just this past month in January, I taught Jonathan Iverson, the grandson, and met the great-granddaughter of Bill Iverson. And so that is why he's here to us today to speak to taking Christ. Our theme is taking Christ to the world. His particular theme is taking Christ to your family.
And thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Look at Psalm 103. I'm going to talk a little bit about the covenant of grace and the gracious commission. And Psalm 103, just a few verses here. Our time is short, but I do want to read this. The blessedness of God to us, that we have strength and forgiveness and health. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate, merciful. He will not constantly accuse us. He does not punish us for our sin, all our sins. He doesn't deal with us as we deserve. His unfailing love toward those that fear him is as great as the height of the heavens and above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east from the west. He knows how weak we are. He remembers we're only dust. The love of the Lord, the kesed love, the covenant love of the Lord, remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. May God bless that reading of his word. We watched our son Dan and Carol walk through a long tunnel to a Delta jumbo jet en route for Japan. Lumps were in our throats, tears in our eyes as we saw him go. We saw Carol with a baby on one hip and a little sister holding her hand. And we saw these two little boys carrying bags, 8 and 9, then little Joel holding Dan's hand, and he's loaded down, headed as a missionary to Japan. And I thought, how sad to see them go 10,000 miles away, more than I could bear. And I looked into the sweet, tearful eyes of my wife, Ann, and realized the pungent pain in her heart. She said, "It's okay, honey. That's what we raise them for, not to hold them to us, but to give them to God." Then it dawned on me, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, "In thy seed shall all the ethne, all the people groups of the earth be blessed." And that seed is Christ, and we're in him, and he's in us. There's no separation from the covenant, from that was all gathered up once more in great clarity after the death and resurrection of Christ and the great commission that we were to go and disciple all nations, and as we go to baptize them, teach them everything that the Lord had given us until the end of the age. The covenant is a missionary covenant. And that's what it's all about. It was a sweet sorrow, but knowing the purpose of God, he dried our eyes. That covenant mother loved to contemplate the imagery of Khalil Gibran in these words: "They come through us, not to us." God is the archer, the children, the arrows. He holds the bow in his hands and sends the arrow where he wills. The bow in his hand are the parents. The bow must simply be flexible and strong. God sends the children where they should be, but we must be flexible and strong and in his hand as parents. So that was 22 years ago, and today the Japan Mission has 25 team members. They planted 4 churches, 3 missions, established a presbytery, a tremendous campus ministry, a language school for teaching English from anywhere to 250 to 450 Japanese, where they always study the Bible for 15 minutes in English. There are 9 Iverson children in that family. All have made a profession of faith. The older 7 all want to serve the Lord in some way. They're old enough, and it's business or nursing or teaching or preaching. They're creative, joyful, venturesome, and rambunctious. Bill Jr. speaks of those blessings. He loves Psalm 78, where one generation passes it on to another. And I would like to say that my wife wanted at my funeral, and she thought she'd be there, but I lost her first. A song sung where these people keep meeting you in heaven and say, "Thank you for giving to the Lord." And I do think that's a wonderful goal, and it's a pretty arrogant for me to tell you that, but I do like D.L. Moody's mission, which is very simple. And his mission went to the ends of the earth, that every day he'd share the gospel with somebody. That was his vow. So one night he couldn't sleep. So he told Ms. Moody, "I forgot my vow." Big man like Brother White. He weighed 300 pounds. And Mr. Moody went out and pushed his little self under an umbrella. A very bad Chicago night. He wasn't cool like some of us, you know. Have you heard the 4 spiritual laws or something? He just said, "Are you a Christian?" The man said, "No, I'm not a Christian. And furthermore, it's none of your business." "Oh, yes, it is my business." "Well, who do you think you are, Mr. D.L. Moody?" He said, "That's precisely who I am." And he led the man to the Lord. Now, Jack Miller, one of your great former professors, I used to say, "I have some bad news for you. You're worse than you think you are." True. We could quote Kierkegaard, who makes it very simple, believe it or not. between God and man, there's a yawning qualitative difference. We're sinners. And we don't realize how profound that difference is. But the people who understand the holiness of God and the depth of what sin is in their own heart make the best evangelists. You're worse than you think you are. But God's grace from everlasting to everlasting is that covenant. And from generation to generation. Above us, from everlasting to everlasting. But in the sweat of life, generation to generation, that's the promise. And for every look at ourselves and our struggle to raise children and bring this to fruition, as von Staupitz told Luther, for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. For every look at the struggle to raise people, in the name of Jesus, that God has put into our hand, covenant children, adopted children, extended family, it matters not. Take 10 looks at Jesus Christ and his promise. His promise is from everlasting to everlasting, to 1,000 generations. So that's the mission that you have. Other vineyards have I kept, but my own I have not kept. If you don't keep your own vineyard, you have no right to preach or teach the gospel. And we'll talk a little more about that. Now, the wonderful thing about Mr. Moody is that he kept the missionary spirit, too. He went to England. A man who missed a ferry ended up being the instrument for his best friend to go hear a vaudeville-type man named D.L. Moody with a vaudeville-type singer named Sankey. And he heard the 99 song, he heard the message, was converted. His name was Stud. He had a son named C.T., who, in my opinion, is the vastest, most energetic of all missionaries in the last hundreds of years, since Francis Xavier, perhaps. What a missionary. The Cambridge Seven, the greatest cricket player in the history of Cambridge. So he got converted. He was a missionary in China, India, and Africa. And today in Fort Washington, there's a group that he started, a mission that has 40, is in 40 nations. Also, the Lord Mayor came over and preached at, talked at Cornell. That was Stud's brother, Lord Mayor of London. And Moody had asked him to come speak to students. And when he spoke in Cornell, a man named John Mott heard him, became the greatest missionary statesman in the history of America. Of the world, perhaps. John R. Mott, D.L. Moody, Stud in England, a Miss Ferry. God's work is all providence. He sees it ahead, and he does it, makes it happen. And incidentally, when Stud saw what a blessing that he and his six athlete friends had, they covenanted, like Danny did with his group. They all went to Japan, four couples. These seven men decided to go to China under Hudson Taylor and became great missionaries. But they went from college to college. They went to Glasgow and Edinburgh, Oxford, Sheffield, all the universities in England. And they called their work InterVarsity. And out of that movement came the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which has the greatest missionary meeting for young people in the history of the world. So you see, if the gospel is burning and has come through a covenant family, it's going to go somewhere. If it isn't going somewhere, it never came from anywhere into your life. Gospel. It, not programs, not great theology, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Now, so we have a grandson going to India. He served in Sri Lanka, Morocco, and a granddaughter going to Bangladesh. They like places like that. We're kind of Norwegian. I don't know if it's God or the Viking spirit, but we like to do things like that. I got tricked into Newark. I thought, well, I'll get a PhD and help Billy Graham over in Madison Square Garden. That'd be fun, but it's been over 50 years, and my PhD is mostly like post-hole digger, you know. It's just a kind of sweaty thing down where people are. We have a granddaughter right now in India taking care of orphans. She's 17. We have a grandson who's in India in Newark, working with Walter Howard. Urban Church had about 5 people left. Now it's a bustling place with a lot of people coming to the Lord, preaching the gospel. And so Danny is living right in the heart of a terrible area. He came single, and then he married his sister's roommate from James Madison College, and now they have 3 kids. And Daniel Iverson, the 5th, is living right in Newark, and they minister the gospel. I have a son named Billy. He slept through all my sermons growing up. I didn't know how he'd know anything. He's the best theologian in the family. He's magnificent. Walter's heard him, I think John too. Billy, when Jonathan was sent by the mission to the world to administer a few million dollars in recovery monies, Billy, his uncle, my son, he's a good businessman, water treatment system. So he went over there and took some reverse osmosis machines and all kinds of ways to work with water and gave people water. But Jonathan came a little later, and the next time they met up over there and they found a school that had no teachers. They'd all been killed in an accident. So Billy, an elder, he devised a theological program where he takes teams. They go every month, different teams, a preacher and an elder, and they've been doing it for several years. They have 400 students. 30 have been ordained. That's a businessman who has missions in his heart burning there, pays his way. That's really nice. It's beautiful, magnificent to see how God works. And there was a saying among the girls in our family, and I have 11 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren and adopted Nicaraguan daughter with 4 children. The saying is, I'm so glad I don't have to marry an Iverson man, because they're girls. They get to marry somebody outside the family, because we're all hard to handle, rather impetuous, arrogant, and thinking all ahead, out of the box, way up there somewhere. We make more mistakes than anybody. I'm the leader of that. But I'll tell you one thing. Every day of my life, what was given to me by my grandfather, who was a ship's carpenter, taking care of 400 sailors, preaching in 6 languages in Savannah, Georgia, an elder of the Independent Presbyterian Church, he gave my dad something. Mr. Moody met my dad at 7. He gave him something. And whatever it was, it's in me. And I passed it to my children, and it's gone to the grandchildren. It's an everlasting covenant. And it's the gospel. It's a qualitative difference. We know we're sinners, and we prove it every day. But we know God is gracious, and he proves it every day. Now, here's what I like to say, and like I say, I can't give you the message. This work of the gospel really starts at home. I want to know that what I've seen in the PCA isn't happening everywhere. I've preached in a lot of churches, and I give an invitation at the end. I'll preach on the covenant and say, how many of you have regular family worship? And I look back here, the preacher, he can't raise his hand. Only 10% of our people in this covenant denomination really put the word of God and the gospel at the center at home. How in the world would we qualify to minister to others if we don't have a ministry to our family? The gospel is absolutely necessary. We have to start where we are. The reason all these people I was telling you about, and there are more than that, is that the gospel was part of our life every day. I'd like to encourage you right now. I'd like to tell you in Jesus' name, if you don't have in your own personal life a seeking after God, and if you're a mother or father, covenant family, and you made vows to God, we've been lying to God in Reformed circles because we have not kept the covenant. So why should God give us converts? We're not taking care of our own. The last 5 years, the PCA has had 5,000 professions of faith each year for 5 years. We're a new denomination. We're all topped off now. Why? We lie to God. We don't keep covenant. The mission spirit comes through the home. What are you going to do about that?
Thank you.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, and you're in charge of eternity. We had a little spot of time, but we ask that by your grace, you establish covenant men and women to lead their families always, daily, and ever to Christ through forgiveness, through grace, through faithfulness, through failure, through perseverance, and always through Christ the risen Lord, being himself in terms of our redeemed personality in the home. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.